Thanks for joining us for today's program. We hope that you're enjoying our new look designed to bring you more interactive content, more message content from Pastor Adrian Rogers, and the opportunity to follow along with his outlines and notes. As always, downloads and other related materials are available at our newly redesigned website, lwf.org. Is there spiritual power in your life? Have you learned how to take authority over the devil? Today, Adrian Rogers gives us insight into what spiritual power is and where it comes from.
Now, what kind of power is this? Is this physical power? No. Economic power? No. Political power? No. It is spiritual power. Now, actually, it's the word we get our word dynamite from. You shall receive dunamis. A dynamic will be in you. The Holy Spirit of God is a promise to be received. Then He is a power to be released. Why are we so pathetic? Why are there so many of us in this building and we're doing so little? I'll tell you why. We've not allowed the Holy Spirit of God to do what He wants to do in our hearts and in our lives.
Have your Bibles open to the book of Acts chapter 2 and stay with us for today's message, The Principles of Power. I'll be back at the conclusion with more information about how you can connect with Love Worth Finding Ministries. Now, let's join Adrian Rogers.
Be finding the book of Acts, and that's right after the Gospels, and we're in Acts chapter 2. We're talking about living supernaturally. If you didn't bring a Bible, most likely there'll be one there in the pew rack before you. Now, what I want to talk to you today about is the principles of power. We're in Acts chapter 2, and I want you to begin reading with me, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now remember last week we talked about the fact that Jesus had promised, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. They were to tarry in Jerusalem. They were to wait for the promise of the power, the fulfillment of the promise, the coming of the power. And this is when it happened. This is the day of Pentecost. It was a special feast day in the life of Israel. They had been keeping this feast for 1,500 years, but this one was special. No other Pentecost like this Pentecost. It was a feast. You know, the Bible is full of feasts, and they all typify the Lord Jesus. And when I invite you to Jesus, I'm not inviting you to a funeral. I'm inviting you to a feast. I hope you understand that. This was a feast day. And there were many things that happened that day, but one thing they would do would be to take some grain, crush it, grind it, sift it, purify it, and then they baked 2 loaves of bread. And they poured into this bread oil. And they baked these loaves, and now these individual grains are no longer individual grains. They have been blended, baked together. Then they took 7 animals, 7 perfect lambs, and they offered a blood sacrifice with those. And then 1 bull and 2 young calves, 10 altogether, speaking of the perfection of the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the total completeness of Calvary. Those individual grains represent the church, no longer individual members. Now they are blended, baked, melded, molded together. The oil in that bread represents the Holy Spirit of God. This was the birthday of the church. The Holy Spirit had come and God had promised power. Now He's going to demonstrate that power. Now He's going to symbolize it. He wants us to understand what it's all about. And so you're going to see this power symbolized. And it was symbolized by 2 things. by fire and by wind. There was a sound and there was a sight. Look at it again, if you will, in the second chapter of Acts. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind. Have you ever heard a tornado, a cyclone? How many of you ever heard one? Oh, all right. Everybody says it sounds like what? Freight train. That's true. That's true. I heard one time, twice, I have been in enough approximation to a tornado to hear the noise. And it is an awesome sound. Now, if you think a tornado sounds awesome outside, what would you think about an indoor one? This one was inside the house where they were sitting, and there was the symbolism of the sound. Now, we said that oil is an emblem of the Holy Spirit that was upon that bread. But wind is also an emblem of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches this. This power was symbolized. And then this power was vocalized. Go on and look, if you will, in verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here are 120 people now beginning to speak in foreign languages, known languages. The people who were there said, how is this? How can we understand this? They're speaking, every man in his own language, wherein he was born. They all are hearing these Galileans who didn't have a PhD. They were not bilingual, trilingual, multilingual. Here they are, praising God with languages they've never heard. This power was symbolized. This power was vocalized, but now here's the key. This power was actualized. The Bible says, look, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the abiding principle, is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The abiding miracle of Pentecost is that men, women, boys, and girls were filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not trying to repeat Pentecost. Every now and then somebody says, we need another Pentecost. Well, if you have another Pentecost, you have to have more fire and another cyclone. You see, all of this was to symbolize, to teach us something. Now, this is the day of Pentecost, and the promise of the Father came with this wonderful power, power that was symbolized, power that was vocalized, power that was actualized as they were actually human beings now become inhabited by the Holy Spirit of God as He comes into them. Having said all of that, I want to give you three principles of power, okay? Three principles of power, and I pray God that He'll write these upon your heart. We're talking now about the dear, precious Holy Spirit of God. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a promise to be received. Have you got that? He is a promise to be received. Now, in this same chapter, let's go over about to verse 38. Peter had preached a sermon, a wonderful, anointed, Christ-filled sermon, and there was conviction there. Let's begin in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Now that's Holy Spirit conviction that does that. And said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? Now they are unsaved. Men and brethren, what shall we do? I hope you'll be asking that question if you've not been saved. What should I do? Here's what God says to you, the same thing that Peter said to those people so long ago. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now he didn't say you will receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He's not here talking about tongues or miracles or signs or visions, helps, governments. No, you will receive the Holy Ghost Himself. He is the gift. You will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now notice verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Holy Spirit is a promise to be received. The promise is to you, to your children, to those that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call." Friend, God has made a promise to you. God has promised. Are you listening? God has promised to you the Holy Spirit. You were not left off, left out. The promise is unto you and to your children, to those who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. Jesus told the disciples to tarry until they were endued with power from on high. We don't need to tarry. The Holy Spirit has already come. He has come. We don't need to say, "Oh God, send your Spirit." He has sent His Spirit. That would be like praying, "Oh God, send Jesus to die on the cross." No, He has died on the cross. Calvary is an accomplished fact. Pentecost is an accomplished fact. What we need now to do is to receive the promise. Now let me tell you something. If you are a Christian, if you are truly saved, you've already received that promise. Amen. You say, "Well, I don't feel it." I'm going to tell you something. You can be a Baptist and be lost. You can attend these worship services and be lost. But you cannot be a Christian and not have the Holy Spirit in you. That's what makes you a Christian. When Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost," he didn't say you might. He said you shall. And the very word "shall" here is a very positive word. It literally means once and for all. If you repented of your sins, you did receive the Holy Spirit of God. Now, are you listening to me? If you repent of your sins, you did receive the Holy Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, listen to this, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Are you listening? If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Jesus. That's what the Word of God says, Romans 8 verse 9. "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now, God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the child of God. What is this witness? How do I know that I have the Holy Spirit of God? Well, I don't know that I have the Holy Spirit of God because of some emotional feeling. Emotions come and go. I've told you many times, your emotions are the shallowest part of your nature. Salvation is the deepest work of God. God doesn't do the deepest work in the shallowest part. The Holy Spirit is the one who communicates the things of God. Your human spirit is the instrument of spiritual knowledge. And the Holy Spirit of God speaks to your human spirit that you belong to God. It is not an emotional feeling. It is an awareness. You say, "Pastor, I'm not sure of the difference." If you have it, you know the difference. If you have it, you know the difference. If you don't have it, I don't know I could explain it to you. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes into you. I mean, how else could Jesus come into you? Could He in His physical body come into you? How else could Jesus come into you apart from the Holy Spirit? You see, Christ is in you. How is Christ in you? Through the Holy Spirit. Now, we're talking about three principles of power. Number one is the Holy Spirit is a promise to be received. The promise is unto you, to your children, to as many as are far off, those that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. Got it? Say, got it. Okay, now listen. Here's the second principle. Not only is the Holy Spirit a promise to be received, but the Holy Spirit is a power to be released. A power to be released. Remember Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now what kind of power is this? Is this physical power? No. Economic power? No. Political power? No. It is spiritual power. Now actually it's the word we get our word dynamite from. You shall receive dunamis, a dynamic will be in you. I would be a fool an absolute sheer fool to attempt to preach without the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is power. The Holy Spirit of God is a promise to be received. Then He is a power to be released. Why are we so pathetic? Why are there so many of us in this building and we're doing so little? I'll tell you why. We've not allowed the Holy Spirit of God to do what He wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me. On the day of Pentecost, 5,000 people got saved. 120 witnesses, 5,000 saved in one day. Today in modern church, 5,000 people can't win 120 in a year. What's the difference? Well, the difference is we're trying to do it in our own rather than depending upon the Holy Spirit of God. All right. The Holy Spirit of God is a power to be released. Got it? Okay. Now, here's the third thing. The Holy Spirit, a promise to be received, a power to be released. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person to be recognized, a person to be recognized. On the day of Pentecost, they saw all of this and they said, what does all this mean? Well, look, if you will, now in verse 12. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. How could they be drunk? It's only 9 in the morning. Of course, he'd never been to America. These are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, Peter, what is all of this? How is all this happening?
Well, I want to tell you how it happened. We all went to seminary. We were in seminary for 3.5 years with the best teacher. And besides that, we are all holy men. And besides that, we've been praying for 10 days in a prayer meeting. That's why it's all happening. No. Peter refused to take credit for what was happening. There was a person that was recognized there, and that was the Holy Spirit of God. What does this mean? Peter says, I'll tell you what it means. It means the Holy Spirit is working. Do you know one of the things that kills some churches? When God starts working, people start taking credit for it. They start taking credit for it. Well, why is God blessing Bellevue? Well, because the way Brother Mark administrates and the way Brother Jim waves his hands, and the way this man keeps the grounds clean. That's why. Or because our congregation is so intelligent. Or because we dress so well. Or because we have our building. No, 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 no. It's because of Him. Amen. We start taking credit for what God does, friend, it stops. What is there about this church or any church that you cannot explain apart from the Holy Spirit of God? Same thing in witnessing. I hear people say something. It's kind of silly to me. They say, well, I know that I don't share Jesus, but I just want people to see my life. I just hope by my life they'll want to be saved. Come up close and I'll tell you something. They're not saved by your life, they're saved by His death. Amen. And if you live the life without giving Him the glory, you are taking praise under false pretenses. You ought to say, the way that this can be explained is there is a person, His name is Jesus, who has changed my life. And the way that you can explain any church that is being moved and working is, oh, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. The Holy Spirit of God is a person to be recognized. And God says, I'll not share my glory with another.
we need to be constantly, constantly recognizing, giving God the praise and the glory for what He is doing. People ask me, what about Bellevue? How do you explain Bellevue? I say, it's like an airplane with a tailwind. With a tailwind. God is doing something. You know, the only thing that we have any right to ask anybody to believe is that which cannot be explained apart from Him. Now, when you have this kind of a service, there are three things that will happen. They will happen today in this service. I want to tell you what these three things are, and we're coming into the end. Look in verse 12. There's some who will be amazed. There will be amazement. You know, I want this church to be an amazement to people. I want my life to be an amazement to people. There will be amazement. But there will be also amusement. Look in verse 13. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. When's the last time anybody ever accused you of being drunk because of your faith? I mean, why, when's the last time that you were so different? Somebody said, well, there's something possessing that person. You know, a person filled with wine, his walk is changed, his talk is changed. His very demeanor is changed. But they mocked them. They laughed at them. When we begin to amaze some, we're going to amuse others. They're going to look at us, they're going to call us all kinds of names. Fools, freaks, fanatics, nuts. We are nuts, but we're fastened to a good bolt. There will be amazement. There will be amusement. But I'll tell you a third thing there will be acknowledgement. Look, if you will, in verse 41 of this same chapter. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There are going to be those who are going to acknowledge Christ as Lord and Savior. Let me ask the church here a question as we come to the conclusion. Church members, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to start with all the choir, the orchestra. Start with you two guys over there. I ask myself this question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking to your neighbor now. I could walk right down here and put my hand on you and say, are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, this is not, it's to you and to you. Hey, quit wondering, are they hearing the message? I'm asking you, are you consciously, conspicuously filled with the Spirit of God? If not, you're not just missing a blessing. You're guilty of rebellion and sin. We're going to talk more about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm talking about spiritual reality without which we will not reach this world. Aren't you tired of playing church? How could so many people be in one city and not make more difference than we're making? Second question I want to ask. To those of you who are not certain of your salvation, are you certain you're not saved? Have you repented? Have you put your sins on Jesus, or are you still carrying them? Men and brethren, what must we do? Repent. When you repent, you turn from sin to Jesus. I'm not asking you, you're a church member, Baptist. Is Christ real to you? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Are you certain?
Thanks for listening today. Pastor Rogers will be back in just a minute with a special message on how you can know Jesus personally. And if after listening to today's message, you have a question, a spiritual need, or a prayer request to share with the Love Worth Finding family, feel free to call us at the number listed on the screen or go to lwf.org. Again, here's Pastor Rogers.
May I have another moment of your time? We've been talking about the principles of power, and that power comes through the Holy Spirit of God. And no one has the Spirit of God who has not yet received Christ as his or her personal Savior. Would you like to receive Christ into your heart? Would you like a supernatural power to live in you and work through you? That power is not some mere influence. It is God himself through the Holy Spirit. If you're not certain that you're saved or certain that you're not saved, may I invite you to pray this way, dear God. That's right, just talk to him. Dear God, I know that you love me. I know that you want to save me. Jesus, you died to save me. You promised to save me if I would trust you. I do trust you. I put my faith in you like a little child. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me. Save me. Save me. Lord Jesus. Don't just utter the words. Pray them and mean them. Crown Jesus as Lord. And if you do, would you write to us and let us know so we can rejoice with you, pray for you, and we'll send you some literature to help you in your Christian life.
We hope that today's message has been a blessing to you. For more information about Love Worth Finding, or to find other materials related to today's message, explore our newly redesigned website, lwf.org. At lwf.org, you can hear hundreds of messages from Adrian Rogers through our audio and video on demand, download outlines and notes from recent messages, and browse books, pamphlets, and other materials available from Adrian Rogers. And if you're looking for some inspiration and encouragement to get you through the week, be sure to follow us on social media at LWF Ministries. On our next program, Adrian Rogers tackles the subject of boldness from Acts chapter 4.
What is boldness? Boldness is having the courage to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of opposition.
Join us next time for Holy Boldness. And don't forget, you can catch up with our program each week at lwf.org and now on our Facebook and YouTube channels. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next week.
Love Worth Finding is a viewer-supported ministry, and we need the help of faithful viewers like you as we share the love of Christ each week. And as a thank you for your financial support this month, we'll send you these 5 how-to booklets on living a supernatural life. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.